Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It is June 7th, 2022, NXT 2.0, the fallout from NXT TakeOver In Your House. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I am Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Alfred Kanawa and NYC Dima Diva Issa tonight to talk about this fallout, the NXT 2.0 Women's Breakout Tournament. We've got a winner. We've got some new storylines in motion ahead of Great American Bash. We've got someone from the main roster who is now back in NXT. Slightly different than when we saw and heard him last. Only slightly. Those diction lessons.
What do you mean, Glenn? I didn't notice any differences. Why don't you elaborate on this?
He was taking diction lessons. He had a very strong accent, and I have to say it's remarkable how working with the speech tutor and coach, how like no shades of the accent.
Wow, incredible. Maybe I should call the person that he's working with.
Fully integrated. Oh. Before our very eyes, we saw him integrated into society. He's fully American now.
All that and more tonight on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. What is going on in the news? Do we have anything new? What's the latest with MJF and AEW? As I feel like that's all anyone's talked about the last 2 weeks.
Well,
I don't even know if that's in the news. Is that even in the news?
There's no real movement on the MJF situation. I mean, there is an article on Wrestling Inc. about Jake the Snake Roberts, who's an old school guy who said that the promo made him sick, and he goes into that. So check that out. But it's kind of quiet on the MJF front until he decides to work the entire wrestling media again, which I absolutely loved. But before that, away from embarrassing the wrestling media through MJF, clarification on Stephanie McMahon's stepping away from WWE. Now, this has become kind of a dramatic story. I have a piece on Forbes that I posted today on the Stephanie McMahon situation. Of course, she did leave on her own accord, according to Stephanie McMahon, to spend time with her family. Of course, she has Triple H, who her husband suffered a life-threatening incident and is now has heart issues, but she is stepped away from her role as chief brand officer for the time being. But then some articles and some stories started leaking out in the press, clearly designed to bury Stephanie McMahon in terms of performance issues. A clarification from Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, said that he insists that Stephanie McMahon, it was 100% her decision to step away. She was not fired by Vince McMahon, as it was kind of suggested in a Business Insider piece, which went into performance issues and how WWE's ad sales were not growing as much as they would have liked compared to the UFC, which that was Stephanie McMahon's area. But to clarify, as far as we know, Stephanie McMahon stepped away on her own, and a lot of the stories that have been coming out lately on Stephanie McMahon seem to have come out from within WWE to present a narrative that Stephanie McMahon was not good at her job. Glenn, are you surprised to see this about Stephanie McMahon?
You don't fuck with the billion-dollar princess. It's all right. It's like Succession. She's going to be back. Good or bad, she will be back in the fold. And there will be a price to pay for those that crossed her. But no, I think it's very interesting because what metric are they measuring it against? I think WWE, despite all their financial success, is a company that's convinced they, you know, Nick Khan, since he's been in the mix, is convinced they could be making more money doing anything and everything. Remember when they were like, oh, we don't want our talent doing Twitch. That should be money that we're making. We don't want our talent doing cameos. That's money we should be making. Think about the advertising market of the last 2 years. And I think whatever WWE made is remarkable given where economic uncertainty has been. I think it's very unfair to try and scapegoat any lack of greater success on her. And by the way, I mean, NFTs, podcasts, Cameo, look at all the different things they've dipped their toe in without even really knowing what they're doing or having a set strategy. Just came out today. Someone that was working, heading up the podcast efforts at WWE on the creative side, left, went back to his old former video game site. I think that WWE sometimes jumps into things with a profit expectation, doesn't know how they're going to pencil it out or make it work. I think it's very unfair to try and scapegoat Stephanie McMahon.
East?
I just want to say that maybe Stephanie McMahon was holding it down until Vince fired Shane McMahon. So then she could be like, you messed up first. And then since we know that Vince fired Shane in January, she stopped caring because now she couldn't mess up as bad as Shane did. So that's my opinion.
And to follow up on your question about WWE's metrics, in terms of whether or not she was doing a good job, it looks like WWE's metrics was comparing to UFC, which garnered $100 million in ad sales and brand sponsorships, and WWE came short of that, but they still had record years in terms of sponsorship and ad revenue. WrestleMania alone, they were up 50% year over year. They were up 34% for the year in terms of ad sales, in terms of first quarter ad sales and revenues. And to your point, Glenn, last year alone, I wrote a piece that it was the year of product placement in WWE, where we saw the Living Dead zombie partnership. We saw the Netflix egg partnership. Product placement was all over WWE and continues to be. And even though they are doing record numbers in terms of the amount of money they're bringing in, clearly they've got very, very high standards in terms of the numbers they want to see. And clearly they want to outdo UFC as part of that narrative.
Let me tell you something that just popped into my mind. WWE won't take male enhancement as a category of a sponsor, UFC will. WWE won't take Manscaped as a sponsor, UFC will. And I'm sure whatever rates WWE is trying to charge are probably much higher than UFC, which is precluding them from getting more sponsors in the door because they want Netflix money. They want Snickers money. They want to go after what they consider to be mainstream brands, whereas UFC has always had brands that were more on the come up and not your traditional consumer packaged goods.
We're not even talking about how UFC is ripping everybody off ever since they signed this ESPN Plus deal, which is, don't even get me started on that, but the cost to keep up with UFC and watch all of their events is so much more higher than WWE, so that's where the money is coming from.
And we can get more specific on them ripping people off. They're ripping people off with this sponsorship deal as well, because if you'll remember, not even in the early days, it was as recently as, I believe, 5 to 7 years ago, UFC athletes could go out and get their own sponsorship and they would have them on their gear. Now UFC gets all of that money through a Reebok sponsorship that was very lucrative.
No, it's not Reebok anymore. Isn't it Viper now?
Initially it was Reebok. Initially it was Reebok, but whatever brand sponsorship they have, they get the money and the athletes don't get to individually sponsor themselves.
That was a big deal. The athletes were not happy and they were getting very little money from the Reebok deal, unless you were a big time, you know, one of those big time names that were selling a lot of merch. I don't see as much UFC individual, unless we're talking about McGregor or those names that are known. You don't see very individual merchandise sell. Like, you see a lot of just the general UFC merchandise. I remember when they did the first show in MSG, they actually put effort into that merch. I remember I bought a bunch of it because it was very cool looking, but the normal UFC merch is not something that I just want to buy. I mean, they even misspell some of the athletes' names at times. It's bad.
And let me just be clear about this. I don't care if it's Nick Khan or whoever is trying to fill the power vacuum and get Vince's ear. I guarantee you they're scapegoating Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, anyone they can that no longer works at the company or that isn't in Vince's good graces. They're trying to do that to curry favor. And that's just, you know, the insect politics that is the way WWE works. You know?
And consider that Nick Khan, who, from what I imagine, had a great relationship with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. I understand that they were very instrumental in bringing him into the fold in WWE, but Nick Khan is a Hollywood agent. He comes from that agent world. That's as cutthroat as anything. Like, they portray it on Entourage to be this backstabbing business. It's even worse than that.
Yeah.
And I just think that ever since the Triple H thing, where he was scapegoated for NXT failing against AEW, there's been a drip, drip, drip that the crown is there for the taking. Very succession-like. Mm-hmm. And I think any opportunity they have to pursue the crown and get closer to that heir apparent, they're going to take it, because really nobody knows who's going to be next if something were to happen to Vince McMahon. And I think everybody's trying to position themselves to be next.
And let me just say, I think this has proven that Shane McMahon's true calling, his greatest talent, is actually in the ring. Because, bro, how did you screw this up? Like... Your sister's gone. Your brother-in-law's gone. Like, this was your chance. And you go into the Royal Rumble trying to make it all about putting yourself over, rather about like, hey, I've got some fresh ideas. How about 3 hours of Raw Underground Monday night? Shane, you could have run this kingdom. You blew it, bro.
Thankfully, Vince McMahon changes his mind a lot, and Shane is back in the fold now. So who knows? Maybe Vince will wake up on the right side of the bed one day and decide, Shane's the guy.
I don't want to play devil's advocate here, but let's just say, I know Glenn already told me he does not want to live in a world when I'm not defending the bad people, but yeah. What if Nick Khan is so damn good at his job that some of the McMahon family members just want to say, I'm going to go enjoy my money. This guy's got it. I don't need to be here. I'm a millionaire. Sure. I never even get to spend time with my kids. I have these beautiful dogs I never get to hang out with. Let this guy handle it. I'm going to go take some time off. You never know. We don't know. Nobody knows. Unless you're like... You know,
talk about rebelling against your parents who raised you having no work-life balance whatsoever and being all about committed to their job. So yeah, that's huge rebellion on Steph and Shane's part, if that's the case.
I'll show you. I'll take time off. I'll take some vacation. That's like a kryptonite to Vince McMahon.
Oh, 1,000%. You heard him. And even as of recently in the Pat McAfee show, he's talking about how he still never takes time off. This man is like 110 years old.
Yeah, they don't have to go work at Starbucks to make ends meet. I'm sure they've got enough money through their stock and compensation where they have a vested interest where they'll do just fine. But I don't know. I think what does that say about the stage they're at in life, their humility, being able to check their ego? If that's the case, more power to them. If they just say,
no, it's just a midlife crisis, Glenn. It's not that deep.
Well, moving on to our next story, speaking of midlife crises, Edge is in the news here, where he was thrown out of the Judgment Day last night in a surprise swerve. For those of you who are wondering, internally, Edge has been slotted as a babyface. Issa, what are your thoughts of Edge being kicked out of the Judgment Day? Where does he go from here?
First of all, amazingly done. I was not expecting that. I was expecting Finn or maybe AJ Styles to join them, maybe Liv Morgan. I didn't know. I was not expecting for them to turn on Edge. I thought the swerve was very well done. Now, I have a theory, and I'm not talking about Austin here, and I'm going to put it out there just in case it happens. Like Glenn says, everybody remembers that one time you were right. Do you not find it clever that they have decided to put Edge back on his own the same night that they announced that John Cena's coming back?
Oh.
Nostalgia sells, and SummerSlam's coming up. I'm just throwing that out there.
Wow.
Edge versus Cena, though. When's the last time that happened?
I want to say 2006, 2007.
It happened long enough for it to count as nostalgia and bring in that money. Okay. We already going to have two old people fighting SummerSlam weekend. You have like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. So WWE is like, we're going to show you what senior citizenship fighting looks like. And they're going to put Edge versus John Cena. It's going to be great.
Their styles are so different though. That's like combining ballet with breakdancing between the two of them. Right. I mean, really different approaches.
I'm here for it. I think they should rebrand the 24/7 championship, the 24x7 championship to match the age of the people who win it. And let's just have a whole title division. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I, by the way, I thought that the angle was well done only because it surprised me so much. But if you really think about it, it doesn't make that much sense. And it's very weird in how herky-jerky this all became, because Edge seemed like he was really going to go all the way with this angle. And then automatically it's just done. I think he sees the writing on the wall for how really piss poor this Judgment Day stable was.
Oh, yeah. Besides the John Cena theory that I have, the move scream, this is not working out. And I just really hope they go somewhere with Finn, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley. And I just hope they don't just go into obscurity. I'm keeping my hopes high just because Rhea did win that number one contender, which, by the way, I've been begging for Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. We're finally going to get it. But I do think Rhea Ripley winning that goes to show you that there is still a little bit of hope behind the Judgment Day.
I think they need to change their name to Judgment Night in honor of the Emilio Estevez, Dennis Leary film and its banging soundtrack.
Let's go. Issa, you talked about hope. Our final news story does relate to hope for AEW Rampage. Finally, some good news in that there is no time slot disruptions or preemption scene anytime in the near future. Of course, they might have to worry about that in October for the MLB playoffs, but it's looking like for the time being, AEW Rampage will be back in its normal time slot of 10 Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. They didn't draw all that great of a number. In fact, a pretty bad number for Rampage back in its normal time slot for a live edition in Ontario, California. It did about 475,000. Not too far off from the Fast Nationals that I posted this past weekend, which, by the way, breaking news story, the Fast Nationals I got this weekend came from MJF. So, I mean, they're just going all kinds of lengths to work everybody. He's sending the Fast Nationals. Like, I don't even know what's going on anymore, Issa.
Wow, I thought, so is MJF taking over the streets now? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Listen, he's in the streets now. I mean, that tells you that he might be talking to somebody. If the Fast Nationals came from MJF, he's got to be in these streets, right?
Listen, if you add just a little bit of street factor to MJF, I'm ready to be a cougar and marry him. That's the only thing that he's missing. And if you're telling me that right now, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll wear a Burberry dress to the wedding.
That would be, I mean, I think Saturday, okay, so first off, looking forward to Dynamite tomorrow, because I think what I predicted might actually happen. I think MJF might get escorted out of the building tomorrow. He has to sign a short-term deal with New Japan, finds a way into the qualifier that way, wins the interim championship, and then holds that title hostage, continuing the storyline, right? Because Warner supposedly removed him from all promo material. Like, they're now, they got to kick this up a notch, right? But in an ultimate heel move, yes, this coming Saturday, MJF absolutely needs to release the Fast Nationals. If Rampage had a dip in viewers, like, MJF absolutely needs to be the one to do that.
100%. I'll let you guys know if he does this Saturday. And I've heard a lot of fantasy booking about what MJF's supposed to do, what AEW should do with this interim title between that and MJF. My favorite fantasy booking is Glenn's idea that MJF should go to New Japan and win that title. I think that would be incredible. I think it would be kind of like AEW correcting the CM Punk storyline from 2011, where I think people were expecting CM Punk to go around to other promotions. Even though it's WWE, people were hoping that he can do that now. And I think that would be great. A great use of AEW's partnership and a way to save this angle.
And thank you. And let me tell you the other angle we need with that. Remember when MJF was doing the pseudo babyface thing early on, and he would constantly name drop Tony Khan and Cody and even DDPY? Like, he would always talk about, you know, facts about his friends at the time. He needs to become like that kid who spends a semester abroad on a foreign exchange program. And when he's New Japan, when he gets the shot through New Japan, he needs to never stop talking about New Japan and Japanese culture. Like, he just learned these facts about it. Now he's going to go on and on and on like Cliff Clavin and just tell you everything he's learned about Japan.
If this is the way this is going to go, the first thing I want MJF to do is visit Cody Rhodes at the hospital with the title, and take a picture of him with that New Japan title, visiting Cody Rhodes in the hospital. It'll be beautiful.
Well, he doesn't have to win the title. He just has to win the shot, right? He just has to win the opportunity to face. I think him versus Moxley makes the most sense. Or actually Wardlow. If Wardlow wins tomorrow night, so if MJF gets his support,
Wardlow was the number one contender until Tony Khan decided to mess around with the rankings. You know.
So I am telling you, if MJF, if Wardlow wins that battle royal and beats Moxley tomorrow night, they are 1,000% going to find a way to get MJF in through New
Japan. But you do know that as of Wednesday night, Wardlow was the number one ranked.
Yeah.
And then when everything happened on Friday with CM Punk, they changed the rankings overnight and they went from weekly to overall rankings to make sure that Moxley ranked at number one. Now, I cover the rankings every week on my stream, so I can sniff this right away. You know, I called it out, I did see a tweet about how Moxley had the best overall ranking, but then they said that so did Anthony Ogogo, but Moxley's victories were better opponents, which now you're putting down Elevation and Dark, but that's a whole different conversation to get into. I'm just saying the rankings are fake. That's all I'm saying.
Look at that investigative Issa, investigative journalism from Issa. I love that. I did not know that at all. That's great.
In the chat room, people talking now about the Judgment Night soundtrack. Have you listened to either of you to the Judgment Night soundtrack? The mix of hip hop and rock groups that gave us House of Pain and Helmet, Cypress Hill and Sonic Youth, Cypress Hill and Pearl Jam, Run DMC and Living Color, De La Soul and Teenage Fan Club, and my favorite track, which was Faith No More and the Booyah Tribe. Absolutely slamming soundtrack album, all collaborations. It was like the birth of rap rock.
Sounds amazing.
It's really good. The movie sucks, but the soundtrack is incredible.
I feel like usually the better the soundtrack, the worse the movie.
Yeah. Well, with the exception of like Footloose.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber also had a great soundtrack. Dumb and Dumber has an all-time soundtrack.
Big Dead Eye Dick fan.
Yeah.
Love that new
yeah.
age song. That is like one of the shittiest songs like that. I mean, like they were writing that and we're just like, we're going to be a one hit wonder, guys. Like yeah. there's no coming back from this.
Just go for it. Put it all on this one.
Yes. She don't eat meat, but she sure likes the bone. I hate that I remember the lyrics of that fucking song. Okay. No, New Jack City had an awesome soundtrack and was an awesome movie. That is also an exception. Okay. So let's get into NXT, I say, as I finish my Fit Soda. I'm now hooked on this. I had this the other night, the Diet Zero Calorie Orange Cream Soda. This is the best diet soda I've ever had. It's really, I'm sad.
Glenn, every week is the best soda you've had. Every week.
Do you like orange creamsicles, Issa?
I do not.
Really?
Yes.
That is interesting. Alfred, how about you? Where do you stand on the orange
creamsicle? I don't think you understand how picky of an eater I am.
Alfred, where
do
you
love spend? Orange creamsicles. I did compliment the beverage just for that creamsicle, made it look delicious. It was my favorite popsicle growing up. And I thought you were actually going into a bit like Kel Mitchell, where he says, who loves orange cream soda? I love orange creamsicles. Is it true? I do. Ooh.
It's so good. I'm just going to keep talking about it until they sponsor me.
Yeah, let's get it.
Yeah, get it hooked up. It's so good. I tried the black cherry flavor, the black cherry cola. Not so hot. But the orange creamsicle, the orange dream one, this good stuff available at Sprouts nationwide. So NXT tonight, we open with Solo Sikoa having a face-off with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, reminding him that he's got next. Grayson Waller came out. And, man, they the same way, how far away do you think they are from just straight up saying those brothers are the Usos? Because I feel like tonight they really got right up to that line. Alfred, what'd you think of this segment?
I thought it was a good segment. I thought Solo came off as a huge baby face. I think people are ready to see him win that title. And yeah, they keep using that. And I think that is part of his popularity because he is a dead ringer for the Usos. And I think people think it's only a matter of time before he, who knows how long the bloodline is going to go, but it's only a matter of time before he joins up with the Usos and even Roman Reigns to some capacity. But I like it. I thought he came off very well here. I really just don't want to see Carmelo have a short run. I want another long run from Carmelo. But at the same time, I think it would be cool if Solo won that title.
Issa?
Yeah, I know I texted you guys. I wasn't able to watch all of NXT in your house, but I did watch this match, and that was probably the title change that shocked me because I really thought that Cameron Grimes was going to walk away with this title, and then Solo Sikoa would take him from. I am ready to see Solo in some kind of title program. So in my opinion, it's like if you're not, I don't want Carmelo Hayes to lose it. So maybe put him against Bron Breakker because Bron Breakker, well, now he has something. We'll get into that. But yeah, I think Solo has it, and it's funny enough because a friend of mine, very casual viewer, texted me today and asked me which one of the Usos was in NXT tonight, and I had to go ahead and let her know that that is the third Uso. So I, of course the they have to use the bloodline. It is so obvious what family he's from that it only makes sense that they just go there. But with all the surprise visits from main roster to NXT, just let the Usos come down even once and give Solo Sikoa a good rub.
It's funny because his brothers are twins, but his name's Solo.
How ironic.
I was drinking, Glenn. Come on.
So this set up the match between Mello, Grayson Waller, and Solo for the main event tonight. But yeah, this was okay. We got a hype package for Von Wagner. And then we had Von Wagner with Miz Caldwell and Mr. Stone versus Josh Briggs with Fallon Henry and Book Shenson. Who's Miz Caldwell again?
She's the one who keeps showing up, right? Sophie Caldwell, who we haven't heard too much about her, but she's just the muse who just keeps popping up and tempting these gentlemen.
Well, that's about all there is to say about this match. Josh Briggs won.
Very backward psychology in this match. Two big men, but you know, you would think it was a clash of the Titans, but the babyface big man needed two people to help him win.
Von Wagner is not it. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Yes. We've been
the Tornado Anthony. Why? Tornado that's got merch, by the way. Alfred's going to retweet
get that merch. Yeah, get I will retweet it. Merch. Look forward to me wearing it on this podcast. Get that merch. Tornado 613. Front level 9.5. God damn it.
This is thinking about making a Raj McDuck sign for Raw next week. I would love, and this is all I've wanted for 6 years, the 6 years I've been in this podcast. I just want signs that reference this podcast at a TV taping, preferably WWE or AEW. You can reference me. You can reference Wrestling Inc. You can reference Raj. That's fine. But that's all I want. I just want to know we've made an impact.
Absolutely. We'd love to see it. I'm going to be looking for it. I will be watching Raw next week as intently as any Raw as I've ever watched. Looking for that tornado.
There you have it. Santos Escobar is now part of the D'Angelo family, and he faced Nathan Frazier, as I like to call him, the British Heath Slater, tonight. Tony D'Angelo in commentary, a high point. Issa, what'd you think of this?
Of course, Tony D'Angelo in commentary was a high point. Tony D'Angelo making Santos do all of his dirty work is also a high point. I don't know where they'll go with this, but for week one, I'm not tired of it. I was loving it, you know, and it was like having opening doors in the parking lot. That is so dangerous. That is so like he put this man's life at risk today. And listen, I'm here for it. It was distracting from the match, just because I really was just paying attention to everything Tony was saying on commentary more than paying attention to the match. But the moments that I did watch, it was actually an excellent match. I really, really like Santos Escobar. And also, I know Alfred popped for this too. The crowd continuing to sing Legado, even though the entrance music is no longer playing. I thought that was a beautiful moment.
I love that too. That actually was a bittersweet moment for me because I thought it was awesome. But then I remembered, oh shit, now that they lost, we don't get to hear that music anymore. So we're not going to hear those Legado chants. But then they did it anyway, which is good. But I'm sure going to miss that music. I think this is great. It's off to a great start. I was excited about it here on the podcast when we covered this match. I love the fact that Tony D'Angelo is now critiquing Santos Escobar's matches and telling him what he should and shouldn't be doing. And for that, I get annoyed when the WWE has tried this and it's never quite worked yet. But I would like to have seen Tony D'Angelo have a live mic with commentary. And because that was part of the story of this match, is Tony D'Angelo telling Santos Escobar what moves he can and can't do. And I think it could have enhanced the match for the live crowd there. But I thought this was a good match. And I'm a big fan of watching Nate Frazier take bumps. He might be the best in the company at just the bumps that he takes in terms of how athletic he is. It's really something to watch. And you know, he got that win and they did a good job telling that story, which you know this is where they're going with it. Disgruntled Santos Escobar having to take orders from Tony D'Angelo. It's simple, but it's effective. And Tony D'Angelo has really realized his character. I think he's hitting his stride just effectively at the right time with this storyline.
Agreed.
Curious to see what happens next, but yes, Nathan Frazier won that match. Tony D'Angelo, two dimes and stacks, got in the ring to berate Escobar. Where is Electra Lopez?
Yeah.
Probably still in the yacht, honestly.
They put her in the water. I told them not to go on that yacht. I told them not to get on the water. Should have listened to me.
So, Bron Breakker who now I've dubbed the human equivalent of a Surge soda from the 1990s, came to the ring. And I guess this was a promo. I mean, Issa, talk to me about Braun's dynamic personality and why you find him mesmerizing on the mic.
Stop it. Get some help. You know. You know how I feel about Braun Breaker, and he completely got even worse throughout this Josie feud. I just can't. Like they showed him backstage before he even came out, and he's doing that Raquel Rodriguez smiling thing. And he just went through a experience in which his father was kidnapped, and he was going through all of these weird things, and he's just like now 2 days later, like smiling. I didn't pay attention to a word he said, Glenn. I'm sorry.
And let me make it clear, he can wrestle. He's got a good look. He's talented. But good Lord, can we just please like get someone else to speak for him?
Like, I don't think the speaking is a problem. I, as a Braun Breaker apologist on this podcast, he was scripted to essentially say nothing. That I didn't think his delivery was a problem.
I know a lot of people that are scripted to say nothing and they can make it interesting.
I was not, well, what is the nothing that could have been interesting in this promo? All he said was, yep, defended the title. Like, there's really nothing he could have ever said with this promo that was going to get anybody engaged. I feel like the way this character has been positioned is as a generic babyface that they don't feel they need to do anything with him because he's a Steiner. He's Rick Steiner's son. That's his character. That is not a character. That is that's something that 23andMe could have told me. I need these writers to sit down and write something that makes him interesting.
The writing in the My Rise mode in WWE 2K22 and those generic character promos they have are better than what Braun Breaker is given on a weekly basis. Huh? And he's the main guy, so this has become like the big flashing, like can't ignore problem with NXT is that we want to hear what the champ says. I mean, Finn Balor back in NXT had, I think, kind of thin promos, but he delivered it well. He had a good look. And he had a long legacy to trade off of. Braun doesn't have that legacy where he can just go out there.
Shinsuke Nakamura barely cut promos, and he had charisma than this one. I can't. He's becoming one of the least favorite NXT champions, and it's not his fault. Like you said, he's got the look. He can wrestle, but there's just something so not interesting about him. And the feuds that they're putting him in do not help his case.
Yeah, like Bo Dallas.
Now, what happened next? I'll gladly talk about. But you know, Braun Breaker, nah, he's not it.
But I'm just gonna put Braun probably with Bo next to Bo Dallas, and Bo actually had more charisma.
Hey, we are not gonna disparage that Bo Dallas run. I thought that was actually a very good run, and it really made me fall in love with that character.
It was okay. In NXT.
Alfred is just the NXT cookies. Champion's apologies.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the ranking. Okay, the Forbes doesn't do listicles. But Alfred, you should pitch. I'm going to rank the best NXT champions in order. And I guarantee you, you would be hard pressed to put Bo Dallas not in the bottom.
Oh my God. Okay. I have an idea. You guys ever seen that show Four Weddings? And they have the brides like judge each other's weddings and then they rank them based on that. Like they do the average. What if you and Alfred and Glenn, all of us ranked the NXT champions and then we had to put them in order based on the average on how we rank them?
I'm down to do that.
That sounds like it could be fun. Every NXT champion ever?
Every NXT champion ever. From your favorite to your least favorite. Your favorite. We're not going by title reign, by wins. No. Just the people that you enjoy their reigns from top to bottom.
Sure.
But I'm looking at this list, and I'm telling you, like...
Personal preference.
I mean, I'm looking at this list, and... Man, Rollins, Big E, Bo Dallas, Neville, Sami Zayn, KO, Finn, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke, Samoa Joe again, Shinsuke again. Like, I'm looking at this and like Breaker, sorry, bud. Like you're one notch
he's
above you're one notch above vacated for the best NXT championship ever.
I don't know, vacated? I mean
Well, of course.
Respect.
But that's more of an NXT 2.0. This era, anything that happens in this era is going to be below anything that pretty much happens.
That's not true. No. Chomp is good.
There's a difference between an apologist and saying he's the greatest of all time. Me being an apologist for Bron Breakker, I'm acknowledging that the character is struggling. I'm not saying he's one of the greatest champions ever. I don't think it's a fair handicap to say anybody in 2.0 was better than 1.0. These are two different things that we're talking about. Yes, the character is struggling. But Bron Breakker, I'm going to record you guys disparaging him for 2 years from now in WrestleMania when he's headlining it. And like, remember when these guys didn't see it? I remember when people didn't see it in Roman Reigns and I was the one guy putting him over. And now I look like the genius that I am.
First of all, I am consistent about the people that I like and the people that I don't like. It's not going to change just because he comes out and cuts a decent promo. It's not going to change. He's still not it. I am very firm on first impressions. You know, there's very few people that have made me change my mind on how I feel about them in the ring. Cody Rhodes being one of them. I would actually give him his flowers. I've changed my mind about how I feel about Cody Rhodes. But you can record me and I'll stand behind it too. I'll say okay. It to his face. I'm not afraid.
Here's the test. If we're making an action movie, Bron Breakker is not the lead man. Bron Breakker is like one of the henchmen who has like a little funny moment in the film, or the guy that like, you know, takes the bullet to save the hero or the hero's like child.
That's in your movie. My movie, he's a barista in Starbucks. That's no lines. He's not talking. I'm telling you that right now.
He just wears the apron. He doesn't wear a shirt underneath the apron. He's just like a meathead barista.
But like, if we don't give him lines, we can pay him at the same rate as an extra, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let me just look. It's 31 minutes. What's today's date? 31 minute mark of the June 7th podcast. Okay, I'll see you guys in 2 years. And we'll go ahead and remind everybody what you guys are saying about Bron.
I'm writing it down too, because when we are writing, you're wrong. I'm also going to throw it on your face.
In fairness, if you go back and watch The Marine in 12 rounds, like John Cena was too big and he looked like uncomfortable on camera. Because it just, like, him next to normal people, he looked like the Incredible Hulk. It just didn't work. John Cena learned
that's
how
the Rock
to
problem sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When The Rock kind of slimmed down a little bit, not that he's like slim, but when he wasn't like just muscles upon muscles, it's just easier. Like, you can look out of place if you're almost too buff at a certain point.
I'm just going to. There's that period. Go ahead, Alfred.
No, go ahead, Ethan.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I was just saying there was that period where The Rock was doing Hercules and Pain and Gain, and he was like gigantic, but he also had to do Ballers, so he had to be on the show with a bunch of regular sized people, and it was distracting how much bigger this man was than everybody else. It didn't look like a normal human being.
I was just going to say that it must have taken talking about movies, because there is no way that we should be talking about Bron Breakker, John Cena, and The Rock in the same conversation. Just putting that out there.
Not yet.
So Apollo Crews is back.
Hey!
In NXT, and it looks like he's going to be here. Now, they've rebooted the character. This is back to the NXT universe Apollo, as opposed to Earth 616 Apollo, who spoke with a good, very heavy Nigerian accent and was with Commander Aziz on the main roster. This is back to babyface Apollo Crews, not heel Apollo Crews.
Yes. He's babyface, which means he gets to speak in an American accent for whatever. So
tells you everything you need to know about WWE right there.
Think about that for a second, what that means, and the industry in particular. But yeah, it's great to see Apollo Crews back here. He spent like a cup of coffee in NXT. I actually went back and looked. He wrestled more matches than I thought he did, but he really wasn't there for very long. But the people embrace him like a star, and I love it. I love the idea of Apollo Crews and Bron Breakker. I love the idea of Apollo Crews in NXT, and I even like the idea of him winning that title.
Me too. I'm a little sad because I had a great conversation with Apollo Crews about how much he meant to him to do the accent and represent, you know, where he's from. But that being said, I don't care. He felt immediately so much more important than he's felt in a long, long time. And it's sad because we were pretty high on Apollo when he turned heel and he started doing all the character changes, but then they went nowhere with him. And I do think that he's one of those ones that got called up way too soon from NXT. I wanted him to have some kind of title run on NXT or something. And we've seen a lot of main rosters, you know, little cameos here or there in NXT. This one feels like one that should stay there and pull a Mandy Rose and go all the way and be on top. Like, I really think this could benefit Apollo Crews' career. He's talented. He's got the look. He's got everything. I don't understand why he's not working out on the main roster, but he felt like like a mega star as soon as he came out. And then we saw him again, and he looked like a star in the ring. Keeping NXT if you have nothing for him in the main roster.
I think he could end up winning that championship.
Me too. And he's so much more interesting than Bron Breakker.
I know. And I feel bad for Bron. Like, I feel bad. I never want to just, like, bag on a talent excessively. And with Bron, it's just like, dude. And this was the same problem that Roman had, by the way.
Stop right now. Roman never had that problem.
No. Hear me out on this. If you push somebody so much and put them under that spotlight, it becomes a microscope. And with Bron, like, if Bron wasn't the NXT champion, these criticisms would be more smoothed over. It's like Grayson Waller kind of flew under the radar. Grayson Waller came out. It was kind of thin. It wasn't much there. But Grayson Waller's kind of settled in. But there hasn't been a lot of pressure on Grayson Waller since they did those main roster spots. So I'm just saying, like, Braun's almost not getting a chance to grow organically because he's the champ before he was ready to be the champ.
Yeah, I see your point, and I agree. I also would love to look at Roman Reigns under a microscope. Just throwing that out there.
So, let's read some super chats.
What part of Roman Reigns would you look at first under that microscope?
His beautiful smile,
Alfred, please.
You don't know
what the answer's going to be.
Please, Alfred. Oh, beautiful smile. Yeah. He's beautiful. Oh, come on. Now, come on. Get your mouth out of the gutter.
And just one more parting shot about Bron, that we can never talk about him again for the rest of the week, okay? Bron Breakker is also a babyface in WWE, and they don't know what the F they're doing when it comes to babyfaces in WWE. Forget WrestleMania in 2 years. When Bron Breakker turns heel and bleaches his hair and starts acting like his uncle and everybody thinks it's the greatest thing in wrestling, then I'll come back for you guys.
Really, Alfred? Well, Cody Rhodes just lifted his left arm to call you and ask you, what are you talking about? They don't know what they're doing with babyfaces.
Oh, Cody knows what he's doing, and that is an emergency situation where when WWE wants to book a babyface a certain way because of larger aspects like Cody Rhodes, AEW free agency, and Roman Reigns, those are like the two, because they have to have a guy, so Roman Reigns gets, he's a heel, and Cody Rhodes just has to be perfect. So when they want to book these babyfaces, Cody Rhodes is an exception. Everybody else, when you look at what they're doing with the Judgment Day, when you look at what they're doing with just about anybody, they are terrible at booking babyfaces.
Oh, and by the way, if he's going to feud with Apollo, Apollo's a babyface. Going against Bron. Well, Apollo tonight, that was babyface. I mean, he aligned with Solo. Like, Apollo, this is babyface Apollo. So here's my thought, actually. Aha. Here's how you book it. Do you remember how Joe Gacy, like, wanted Bron to hit him because Joe wants to turn him to the dark side? I think that's what's going to happen. I actually think Joe Gacy turns Bron to the dark side and becomes Bron's mouthpiece. And, like, this actually could work. It's so crazy. It might actually be a good alliance. And that's how you keep Apollo babyface. And you make Bron more interesting.
We'll see.
And I do agree with Issa's point. If you do want to be a top babyface in WWE, tear your pec off the bone. It's the only way. 1,000%. You've got to suffer a gruesome injury to where it 1,000%. Becomes real.
And it needs to show. Like, I need to see bruising. Yeah, I need to see pain. Yeah, that's exactly the way to do it.
Absolutely.
But you can break a leg too. Oh, you know.
Sure, tear up an ACL. Go to CM Punk route.
So, some super chats, which we're getting to. I've saved them. Nothing has disappeared. Mike D wants to know, will Gangrel return to help Edge?
I'd like that. I don't think WWE is particularly pleased he showed up on AEW TV, no. But why not?
Yeah, Hojo, I mean, he took a beating. He took a beating at AEW, so he might have to recover from that.
Hojo to go Balinski saying, Alfred, your man AR number 12 in camp today. Thoughts? We still need a receiver.
Yes, good to see Aaron Rodgers in camp. We still need Alan Lazard to come into camp. I'm sure that'll get smoothed over. But the Green Bay Packers are your Super Bowl favorites. They were just in Green Bay for Monday Night Raw. And good to see all those shareholders out there. Green Bay Packers, you guys going to be excited when they win the Super Bowl this year?
Are they Super Bowl favorites like your Milwaukee Bucks were favorite to win the NBA championship 2 years in a row? I'm just asking, Alfred.
Before the referees rigged that series, but the Bucks dynasty is still going on, for those of you who didn't forget.
I like Green Bay. They have nice uniforms. And the color of yellow is this, like, a very cheesy, like, it looks like cheese because they're from Wisconsin.
Also, Issa, that was way too soon. My heart hurt when you said that.
I'm sorry, Alfred. Are we still friends?
Barely.
Okay. Dream Realm Studios, Braun is Channing Tatum as Duke. You know, Channing Tatum had a huge career turnaround when he learned to poke fun at himself. I think This Is the End was like the turning point. And then he did 21 Jump Street. Like Channing Tatum, once we knew he had a sense of humor, actually became interesting. Whereas before he was just like very stiff in his acting.
Yeah, that's the thing. You really don't know what a lot of these people have, especially in WWE, where it's so formulaic how they present baby faces and really outdated, I think. You don't know what they have until they turn heel. And it's like WWE presents a lot of these heels as cooler heels who are able to explore their characters more. So we've seen a lot of people's careers change just by turning heel. Hmm.
So Roxanne Perez versus Tiffany Stratton in the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament Finals tonight. Issa, what'd you think of this match and Roxanne Perez winning the tournament?
Yeah, I had a feeling they were going this direction, given that Tiffany was not even supposed to be in the tournament. But I actually really enjoyed the match. I like how much time they gave them. And I'm 100% here for Roxy getting this contract. And I want to see what she does with it. I want to see if she capitalizes on it. She's kind of like Queen Babyface. So she probably will announce it ahead of time instead of just, you know, doing what she should do. But overall, I'm happy. I'm happy with the breakout tournament overall. I thought they really did a good job highlighting the women and the up-and-coming talent in NXT. So, yeah, thumbs up from me.
Yeah, that was solid. It's good to see Roxanne Perez. I think they backed into something good. It would have been great if Nikita Lyons at the time was able to stay healthy and win this tournament. But I think Roxanne is a good pivot, if not a superior pivot. I thought immediately she connected with the audience when she started, and she's a good babyface. And she might be the person to beat Mandy Rose, because we've done this toxic attraction heel stable thing. We've got a three-person stable on SmackDown already, so NXT doesn't really need to replicate that. And I think now it's time for maybe a babyface champion, something along the lines of Io Shirai, to have a run. I think it'd be very interesting to see Roxanne Perez as somewhat of an underdog in all her matches.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to win from toxic attraction. I think if it was Nikita Lyons, no, that would have been too soon, though. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. That's why I said I wanted to see what she does with this contract, because if she announces it ahead of time, I don't see her winning. If she capitalizes on a moment, then maybe. And maybe that's why she has her little backstage friends and all of that. Maybe she's working on something.
I see her winning.
Cora Jade was out there. I could see her and Cora teaming up and going after Toxic Attraction.
Yeah. I hope they don't use the contract like that again. That was capped last time they did that.
Yeah. I like Tiffany Stratton's freak out backstage.
Me too.
She's great. She's got a perfect voice to be a heel, how it gets very high. And I think she's going to be something.
Yeah. The segment with Wendy Chu throwing water on her. Look, they have such a natural chemistry for a feud, I think. And that doesn't need to have a title attached to it to be interesting. Pretty Deadly versus Andre Chase in a 2-on-1 handicap match that Pretty Deadly won. I still think they might show up Friday on SmackDown, but Alfred, what'd you think of this match?
I mean, they did kind of look like male models in that segment with their blazers on. I really like that checkered blazer. But I thought the match was fine. I love me some Andre Chase. I think he gets more over by the week. I love Brody. I love that whole act. Or Bodie, I love the whole act. And yeah, of course they did the job, but people are really in to chase you. I know the plants really kind of helped to give them a good push and make it seem like they're more over than they were, but everybody you could see in the arena is now into this whole thing.
Issa?
Yeah, I'm very sad that Pretty Deadly are no longer the NXT Tag Team Champions. I did love their outfits backstage, and I also love their in-ring gear. Yeah, I thought this was funny. So I really like Chase Yu, and I thought the new student, I forgot her name, I'm sorry, but the new student trying to help, Anthony Chase was just priceless. She was ready to go in there and fight them, which was awesome. But you know, we'll see what they do with Pretty Deadly. If they don't show up to be part of the male models, you know, that LA Knight is running on SmackDown, I don't want them to fade into obscurity here, because I find them so entertaining and so. They have that if factor every time they come into the screen and they speak. So hopefully they do more with them. We'll see.
Mealy, $4.99 super chat, saying Tiffany's getting better by leaps and bounds. Give her a year. I could see her as the next Charlotte, Trish, Stratton, Stratus. Wow.
Yeah, there will always be a slot in WWE for an all-American guy and an all-American girl. Right now, Austin Theory is that all-American guy who they seem to be getting behind. And Tiffany Stratton, I could see sliding into that woman position.
Agreed.
And just to clarify, when I say all American in WWE's eyes, I mean white. I mean, like, you know, white bread, you know, Caucasian. Aggressively Caucasian is what I mean.
I had no clue that's what you meant. I thought you were going for a complete different look. Thanks for clarifying.
Okay, good.
I have comments that I'm not going to say right now.
Nothing against the talent. I'm actually a fan of Tiffany Stratton. I think she's
doing great. I like her too. So with that in mind, do you think that the spray tan is holding some Caucasian talents back?
Exactly.
That's why
I think MJF is getting screwed. That's why I think they don't want to pay MJF, is because he's using too much spray tan.
Oh my God, way too much. Actually, his orange hands distract the shit out of me every time he's cutting a promo. I'm glad that he wore the long sleeve for the nuke. I don't call it the pipe bomb. I call it the nuke because I would have been very distracted. He needs to do a better job with his tanning.
Oh, man. Yeah, they definitely have a type. I was going to say, I look forward to Tiffany Stratton's feud with Lacey Evans.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Who's going to be the heel on that one? Both of them?
Lacey Evans.
Actually, oh my God, if they were doing this right now, Issa, Tiffany Stratton would be perfect to steal your gimmick of mocking Lacey's struggles.
Oh, and I Tiffany mean, of course, because Tiffany only talks about how good her daddy is to her. And we know that Lacey Evans' daddy was not the best. So it's a perfect feud.
Now that I think about it, the way she was doing that with Roxanne, she did steal Issa's gimmick of mocking somebody's struggles. I think you need to sue for a gimmick infringement, Issa.
I'm on it. I am smart, on
Mark,
it.
Smart Mark Sterling follows me on Twitter. I'm going to get you guys connected, and we'll
please,
go ahead and
please,
file that lawsuit.
Tell him to follow me, and we'll talk about it.
There you go. So, Alba Fyre versus Tatum Paxley ended about in the time that it took me to say that sentence. With Alba Fyre getting a win.
Exactly.
Cool entrance, though.
I love the baseball bat.
Me too, but they did this match just to put the entrance out there because I think they realized people are high on the presentation, so they're like, we got to get her out there every week because this is the only time that they might have done right with the name change in a long time. You know, once I saw the presentation, I didn't care about the name change, but don't put her out there just to squash people that were just featured in this breakout tournament. It's not cool.
And it tells me Alba's on the short list of people who are probably going to dethrone Mandy Rose. If it's not Roxanne, I think it's definitely going to be Alba.
It's weird that Alba seems kind of like old school NXT at this point, because she is very much in that model of like an Asuka. Who was champion before Mandy Rose? Who did Mandy win it from? I can't even remember.
Raquel.
Was it Raquel?
Yeah, I think it was Raquel. Yeah. So yeah, Alba's like kind of a throwback. At this point, but no, I think it could be good. But yeah, I think she's who I have earmarked to do so. Saw Creed backstage with Roderick Strong. Why can't Diamond Mine die? I mean, not the members of the faction. Why can't the faction die?
Assuming you were wishing death on the Creed brothers.
No, but like we talked about this last week. They should have just broken up Diamond Mine anyhow. Like, this doesn't need to exist anymore. It's actually holding back everyone.
Yeah, it looks like that's where they're headed, and eventually they will break up, but they're slow playing it.
Very slow. Extremely slow playing it.
We saw Giovanni Vinci, former Fabian Aichner, looking fabulous.
Does he not look exactly like Tony D'Angelo? And he's doing an Italian gimmick?
Yeah.
Well, but yeah. Tony's Italian-American, you know, whereas Giovanni is like more... I don't know. Like, that's part in the Godfather where Michael went to Sicily. You know, he's a little more authentic.
Is there going to be like a classist war where it's like the upscale Italian versus the street Italian, and we're going to get into class warfare of you're embarrassing my people? Is it going to be one of those feuds?
That could be kind of cool, actually. I don't think they're going to, there could be something there because I've seen that before.
I'm with the streets. Tony wins.
Me too. Yeah, it's like it's too much nuance for WWE, but it could be like the Italian version of Black Panther, where it's like the royalty with the vibranium and the kings against the black people that they left behind. It could be like that, but with Italians.
I'm ready.
And in my head, I just hear the voice that Eddie Murphy was using in Raw when he was imitating like the angry Italian American man. That's what I hear in my head.
Beautiful.
I'm sure it'll be very sensitive. Very sensitive.
Tony D will be in the Killmonger role, and I can't wait.
Wait, Tony will be in the Killmonger? Well,
hell yeah. Yeah, he's a street guy, you know? This is the upscale. Like, Giovanni.
I'm looking forward to it. This will happen. We need to order some spaghetti, drink some red wine while we watch the show. You know, like, we got to go all Italian theme.
I did have pasta. I did have some pesto pasta tonight, although I was using a healthy edamame and, like, bean-based pasta that I was eating while watching my Tony D'Angelo. And just thinking, oh, there's no carbs in this. It's great.
You're so on brand. So on brand.
Yes. I'm sure Tony D'Angelo would slap the edamame pasta out of my hand. Just be like, that's not real pasta. So let's see. What else? What else? What else? So Creed's going to defend the titles against Idris Inoue and Malik Blade next week. And Roxanne Perez could team up with Corey Jade and Indy Hartwell against Toxic Attraction. That sounds like a solid, inconsequential set of matches.
Yes, it does.
But the main event tonight, Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller versus Apollo Crews and Solo Sikoa. Issa, what did you think of this match?
So I got played for a second because Apollo being part of the Bron Breakker segment, I wasn't expecting him to be the person teaming up with Solo. So I was expecting somebody else to come out. I popped. I thought it was great. He came back and we're going to see him in action already. But I thought maybe an Us will show up or something like that. You know, regardless, solid match. This was fun. And again, I have a feeling that Solo is going to take this title from Carmelo, and that's going to be hurtful because I don't want him to have a short title reign. So we'll see what happens. They might make Solo jump through a few hoops before he can get to Melo. But overall, this was fun. I thought Apollo Crews looked like $1 million on the ring, and I'm sure he always looks this way, but it's been so long since we've seen him wrestle that I really forgot how good he is. So this was great.
Yeah, Apollo was legitimately one of the best in the world. And when he was UHA Nation as an indie guy, he was one of the hottest guys in the indie. And that's what that reminded me of tonight. He just seemed so refreshed.
Yeah.
And I actually like that idea, Issa, of Solo going through hoops because they're going to have the Great American Bash July 5th. I would have no problem if it culminated on that. But every week there was a dedicated effort to throw something in his way. Maybe a Grayson Waller, a Trick Williams. And he just keeps having to go through these hoops to get to Carmelo Hayes at Great American Bash. And that would be a good way to crown it. Even though it's a short run, at least it's at a big event. And at least there's a story being told as to him chasing it.
Yeah. No, he seemed to really be reinvigorated tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was so refreshing. And I really actually do hope that he stays in NXT and possibly wins the title and gets a nice reign down there.
Honestly, I think if it leads to a Braun heel turn, I think it could be fantastic.
If it's Apollo who turns heel, does the accent comes back?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, no, Braun turns heel. Braun turns heel.
I know. I don't know
if he does. Yeah, that's what would happen. It'd be an even thicker accent this time.
Could you imagine the things that must be said behind closed doors that are just like, I'm going to be kind and say highly insensitive.
Oh yeah. I can only imagine.
I'm pretty sure they're professional 100% of the time. I don't know what you're insinuating.
Do they even have HR at the company?
Oh, they absolutely do.
But don't you remember? Ashley from HR, she was a character on Raw once.
Oh man, that's a deep reference.
I think there's a level though, probably the vice president level, where like HR just stops. HR's like, we can't control anything above that.
No. Did you know, fun fact, that Ashley from HR was their actual HR director at the time?
Yeah.
She ended up becoming the HR director of a different company I work for. So we share lots of conversations.
That's
awesome.
Wow. You got any tea to spill for us today, girl?
Yeah, I was gonna say he's still dropping that.
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, that's NXT tonight. The babyfaces won the match, Apollo and Solo. And welcome Apollo Crews back to NXT. Oh, I have to figure out what to watch tonight. We finished Pistol, Danny Boyle's Hulu series about the Sex Pistols.
How was it?
I thought it was, you know what's weird? They made it kind of retro and grainy looking. They shot it in 4x3. to convey like the 70s. It kind of started off a little slow, but actually it was pretty good. It was pretty interesting. And what I've had stuck in my head all day, kind of a slept on song a lot of people don't remember, but John Lydon, formerly Johnny Rotten, and Afrika Bambaataa did a song called Hell World yeah. Destruction. That is like, it's they kind of like recreated the drum beat to Mickey, but it's like just such a banger of a song. I've been listening to that all day, just on loop, thinking about that.
It's awesome.
John Lydon, though, was sold out. He has now said he respects the Queen and all the time she has put in. And, you know, that's not punk, dude.
Incredible.
They're going to come for him.
Yeah. I'm sure Johnny Rotten really cares about being canceled at this stage in his life. But, oh, man. But it's Tuesday. Tomorrow, I'm just looking forward to Dynamite tomorrow night. Like, again, this MJF thing is the hottest story, even hotter than what happened with Cody. I mean, we know Cody's going to take some time off. Hope he gets well. But speculation about MJF, I think, is where it's at right now.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Cody stopped the MJF talk for a little while, and it was refreshing.
For like a day.
The conspiracy theory in me, I know Cody said it was his decision, but I think part of them deciding that Cody was going to wrestle here and they were going to make it a big story was so they could take some of that momentum for themselves after AEW completely dominated the news cycle over the past week since the MJF news.
Yes, Dream Realm Studios. I'm sorry.
And you make a former AEW guy look like a superhero in WWE, you know, just to make sure everybody over there that's not happy sees it.
2 months. Yeah. Just took 2 months. Cody was in AEW for 2 years, didn't get over to this degree that he did in 2 months with WWE.
Kind of crazy. Dream Realm Studios. Yes, I did watch Stranger Things season 4. Best season by far of the series. Can't wait for the last two episodes to drop later this year.
Well, you know what? My great niece is visiting, and I had the honor of watching Pink Fong's and Baby Shark's Space Adventure, and I was extremely invested. Let me tell you something. They had to go to different planets to help Fong find his star, and it's incredible. You should all watch it.
I'll check that out.
There you have it, everyone. We will catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Have a good one and take care and good night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.